Monday, April 30th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. We are back again this week to discuss the world of sports with hopefully what is a dose of common sense, maybe just a tiny bit of sarcasm. I hope that you enjoyed your weekend off. I hope that you had the weekend off. Maybe I'm just assuming you have the weekend off. Maybe you have to work. I don't know. But I hope that you had the weekend off. And I hope that you enjoyed the time that you got away from whatever job it is that you might do. You know, it was a solid weekend in sports. We had a couple of game sevens. There was some good stuff out there to watch. Going to be discussing a number of those things. But here is a question that I have before we get started. And this might just be me. I'll totally admit it might just be me. Do you find yourself getting like to Thursday, maybe Friday? Like you're getting closer to the weekend and you start to think to yourself, okay, I've got 2 days off and I'm going to rest up. I'm going to get some more sleep. Like I'm going to try to eat a little healthier, exercise a little, drink some water, get hydrated, feel pretty good this weekend so that next week, like I'm ready to go. And then Friday gets there. Friday afternoon gets there. Maybe people are going out for a happy hour. Maybe you have some friends going out. Maybe you're going to get together with some friends. Whatever it might be, the weekend comes. You go out on Friday. It's not horrible, but you stay out way too late. Maybe you drink too much. Maybe you eat terrible, unhealthy food. You wake up on Saturday morning. Now you don't feel like doing anything, right? So you don't exercise. You don't go for that run or that walk you were thinking of going for. You lay around all day. Maybe you survive some of the chores that you have to do. You just try to get through them because you really don't have much energy. You're tired, a little bit hungover maybe, kind of just worn out already, and it's just Saturday morning. So you lay around. Maybe you watch some TV. You finish the things you have to do, like you got to do those things. And then about the time you start to recover, early afternoon, you start to feel a little bit better. Early evening, oh, you know what? I'm okay. Yeah, maybe I had some bad stuff last night, but I'm okay. I think I'm good. I think I'm ready to go out again tonight. So you go out again Saturday night. And what do? There? You drink too much again. You stay out way too late. You eat horrible food that is unhealthy yet again. By the time Sunday comes around, like you're seriously getting up, looking in the mirror going, I need to go back to work. Like I need to go back to work just to save my body from myself. Now, today, here it is Monday morning. You go back to work. You're miserable. You're going, ugh, why am I more tired than I was last week? Like I'm even more tired today. I'm exhausted today. Just dragging already. I can't wait until next weekend. Like I can't wait until Friday. You know what I need? I just need 2 days off where I can get some more sleep. I can eat a little bit more healthy and I can maybe, you know, not drink quite so much. You know what? Next weekend, I'm going to have a really, really good, relaxing, easy, healthy weekend. It's going to be next weekend though. This weekend, we'll forget about that. It's going to be next weekend. It can't just be me. I know it's not just me. Is it? I don't know. Maybe it is. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how you spent your weekend. We would love to hear about whatever it was that you might have done. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a question. Whatever it may be, we would love to hear from you. Today on the show, we are going to be recapping the weekend in sports by looking back at what we learned over this busy weekend in sports. And I won't be doing it alone. I will be joined today by longtime friend of the show, Larry from Centennial, is going to stop by and discuss everything from the NBA playoffs to the Stanley Cup playoffs, to the NFL draft. We learned a lot of things over the past 2 days. We are going to be touching on a number of those. And we are going to get to all of these things that Larry and I learned right after this. Joining us right now, as promised, we are happy to welcome longtime friend of the show, Larry from Centennial. Welcome back to the Daily Dose. We haven't had you on in a little while, but thank you for stopping by the Daily Dose.
Hey, Clint, good to be here. Feels like it's been a while.
It has.
And I guess it has, yeah. So, lots going on. We had a dry spell there anyway, as far as kind of sports goes, since the last time I was on, but, things are definitely heated up now.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on. I mean, you've got NBA playoffs going. We have the NFL draft. We have Stanley Cup playoffs going. I am told that there's Major League Baseball going. I don't know. Maybe some NASCAR.
Really, though.
I have no idea. But I'm told there's a lot of things happening right now. Spring, it's kind of funny because the NFL season ends and we kind of get in this area and you're like, it's going to be kind of slow. No, it's super busy. It'll be, more into the summer that it'll get a little bit slower. But right now, there's a lot to talk about.
Right. There sure is. And it's exciting stuff too. You know me, I steer clear of hockey and basketball until the playoffs. And
right.
I kind of generally tune in. So, it seems like there's a lot going on right now.
Well, it is. And it's hard though when the seasons, same thing with baseball. It's hard when the seasons are so long. Like, it's a lot to ask to really buy in for these entire huge long seasons.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not going to buy in, right?
I mean, sure.
There's nothing worse than, maybe watching a really long season, either basketball or hockey, with a team that has no plans on playing in the postseason or is any good, to begin with.
Right.
I got other things happening, Clint,
I understand.
Stuff happening.
Well, and you've got DU lacrosse happening. You've got DU water polo happening. You've got DU, I don't know what, hockey. DU hockey was pretty solid this year. So you have a lot of things on your plate.
That's true. Yeah. I know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it can take up a lot of time.
it takes up a ton of time. One of the exciting things that was going on this weekend, and you and I haven't actually had a chance to really talk about it much, it was the NFL draft. And, one of the things that we've kind of started to do here on the Daily Dose is, like on Mondays, we kind of try to look back and see some of the things that we learned over the weekend. I was going to kind of go down this list and some of the things that maybe I learned this weekend. If you've got a couple you want to throw in there, I learned a lot this weekend by watching, some of these events, but especially watching the NFL draft.
Yeah, it was interesting. I have probably watched more of the draft this weekend than I have in years past for, no particular reason, other than we had a high pick and
right.
Looking to see what happened there. But even leading up to the draft, there was a lot of talk. The draft seemed to be, heavy quarterback early. And then some other guys. So I was interested to see how it was all going to pan out, not really knowing if the Broncos were interested in a quarterback or what. So, watched Thursday, watched, a little bit Friday, and then, kind of sort of tuned in on Saturday while I was doing stuff. But, it was interesting. They definitely make a show of it. And I can see how a lot of people, have gravitated towards that. As an event, right?
Right, because they've really made it a reality TV show. Like, you kind of have to tune in. You don't know what's going to happen. You might see something crazy, and so you're like, I got to tune in and kind of see what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. It's reality TV at its best and most real. Yeah, for sure.
So one of the things that I learned watching the NFL draft, and I've got a few of those here, but one of the things that I learned this. I'm already sick of the former team members coming out to announce the pick at the NFL draft. Like, it's getting tedious. I don't need your personal speech or agenda. Just read the pick and get, like, I don't need you to come out and, hey, I just want to say before we get going. No. I don't need any of your nonsense. Just go up and read the pick and shut up and get out of here. I don't care.
Yeah, I definitely learned that too. And that, is when I start tuning out because, some of these people, but it's just lengthening the process. Because it's all kind of interesting, but I'm interested in one team.
Yeah.
And I have to wait through all these other people to, go through, like you said, some story or something to get to my team's next pick. Like, let's get it going. Let's just hurry it up, right?
Right. And especially when it's not like these drafts are at a neutral site. Like, this year it was in, down at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. So you're sitting there whenever, say a Washington player goes up or a Giants player goes up, it's just constant booing and hang on. I'm going to say this. So just give me a second. Hey, where's that Cowboy Nation? And then they're yelling to the, I don't care. Shut up. Just read the pick.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. A couple of them are funny, but
yeah, a couple of them do a good job.
But most of them are just kind of like, geez, come on with the show,
Well, and a lot of them just try to rile the crowd up, which is another big thing that has kind of started in the last couple of years. Like, they're going to go out there and they're going to take a shot at whatever, rival team that is hosting it or whatever. And I don't need this stuff.
The only one that was semi-entertaining was with Akers when he announced that all the draft picks hadn't even been born the last time Dallas was in a Super Bowl.
Right. Which was,
I thought that was semi-clever, so that was funny. I laughed.
Well, and the other thing that I'm also kind of sick of along the same line, stop having Roger Goodell go out there and try to address the crowd, because they're not hearing anything you say. As soon as he walks out, it's just a flood of boos. It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, and you know what I learned?
What's that?
That there's very, very little time spent learning these guys' names by Roger Goodell.
Like, has no idea.
You can see him struggling, too. And I think he butchered LaDainian Tomlinson's name like five times. As he was even introducing him as, you know, one of the guests that they had up there. But, yeah, the other names of the players, like, you know, maybe just freshen up on those. Because you know the guy's going to get drafted in you know, pick 1 through 32. Those are the ones you're announcing. You should probably get those guys.
Well, there are times, honestly, and I'm not going all political, there are times he reminds me just a tad on that kind of stuff of, like, George W., right? Where he goes out there and he's like, let's see here, pick number two, shoot, I can't read this. I don't know what it says. Seriously? Oh, you're the guy?
Right. Like, he's got to have some, like, have somebody work with him.
Yes.
Like, you know?
Coach him up.
Let's get this straight. I mean, he's only in front of millions of people on TV, you know, so.
Yeah, no, it's kind of brutal. You know, I also learned that the NFL doesn't care how good the quarterbacks are that are coming out. They're just going to draft them. Like, they don't care. I don't care how good you are. Yeah. We're taking you in the top five. We don't even care.
And it happens year after year.
Yes.
And we're always get sucked into this. Well, you probably don't, but I do, into this situation where we think these guys are good. And I don't know if they're any good or not. I know who wasn't good when they were drafted was Johnny Manziel, but he was picked.
Yeah.
And I don't get how there can be such a discrepancy in understanding, you know, talent as there is in the quarterback position, because they get it wrong at least half the time, right?
Yes.
And it just amazes me.
Well, and they sit there, and I think they have this feeling, hey, we have to get our quarterback this year. We have to get our quarterback. No, you don't. You have to get a good quarterback. You don't have to have a great franchise quarterback to win in this league. You honestly, you don't. You have to get the right quarterback. And when you reach again and again, not only does it not give you the quarterback you need, but you lost the pick that you could have had. You know what I mean? It costs you later down the road, too.
Yeah, it sets you back so bad. And we saw that, you know, with our guy. It just, you'll never have that pick back.
No.
And they're so valuable up top. I guess I came away, except for Cleveland, I came away impressed that teams laid off those quarterbacks so high. I guess, we'll not know how good Rosen is, but really he's the guy that quote unquote fell.
Right.
Only because people were telling him that, you know, he was going to go 1, 2, or 3. I don't know if he deserved to go 1, 2, or 3, but, you know, I guess some teams decided to make smarter decisions. So it will be back here next year, right? And I don't know what the crop of quarterbacks looks like, but there's going to be 2 or 3 or 4 that are going to be talked about in the same way these were this year.
Yeah.
Being the absolute need for these quarterback needy teams.
Well, and that's just it. And you hit on the point exactly right there. These teams need quarterbacks so badly, and there aren't very many of them out there. So they see one and they're like, oh, maybe he's the guy. Let's just hope he is. And so they grab him when in reality, he's probably not the guy. Yes, it's just desperation.
Yep, totally desperate.
It's very similar to when you know, you're at the bar and it's closing time. So you start looking around. Okay, she's wearing, you know, a mini skirt and moon boots, but she, I don't know, from the side in the right light, she kind of looks like Carol Burnett. I guess that's going to have to be good enough.
Very similar. Very good analogy.
You know, one thing that I learned this year, and we haven't discussed this really, I learned that it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, it seems to me that the Denver Broncos changed their drafting strategy, doesn't it?
I agree. This year was different, at least from what I can tell, what I've read up on these guys that they drafted are quality players and leaders, like captains of their teams.
Yes.
people that it appears we've been lacking in the locker room for some time. Yeah, there was a huge difference in just the type of players we were going after this year from last, for sure. But yeah, absolutely, from past drafts, because there aren't too many of those quality leaders. We've gone to free agency to get guys like DeMarcus Ware, right?
But, right.
It looks like we're adding them through the draft. I couldn't be happier.
I couldn't either, because
that's the way you're supposed to do it. Right?
Yes. And going into the draft, I had very, very low expectations. I really did, because I looked at it and said, hey, if they're going to continue to do the silly stuff that they've done these last 2-3 years, where they're taking guys like Shane Ray, and I'm not saying he can't play, but you look at him even before the draft and you said, hey, there are definitely some character questions there. I don't know if there's any character questions with Paxton Lynch, but there's definitely some ability questions there with Paxton Lynch when he first came out. There's been a number of players like that.
Yeah, with Lynch anyway, there's ability, plus there's the leader,
Yes.
I don't think there's character issues with him. He seems to be a pretty good guy, but I'm not sure he can command an offense.
No.
I'm not sure he has it. Well, I know he doesn't have it. So
what it makes me wonder, who makes that change in this organization? Is Elway reevaluating and saying, hey, I've got to do some things differently? Is he getting that told to him from up above? Like, there was a noticeable drastic change in Denver's strategy. Who makes that change? Why did they change?
I don't know this for sure, but I'll put it on Elway. And I think he's heard it. I think if he cares to listen, he's heard it. The drafts have been terrible. We're full of holes on this team that he is in charge of. So I have to believe he's embarrassed, about
yeah.
where we are as an organization compared to, a few years ago. And how quickly we declined, right?
Yeah.
That, I think, is the biggest thing. Like, there's no, there wasn't any sustained momentum there. Like, we won a Super Bowl, and then we went downhill really, really quick.
Sure.
And that's because we hadn't drafted well, and I think he should be embarrassed. And I think maybe he decided that he was going to change. And good for him, because, first of all, he was allowed to, right? He
yeah.
didn't get fired. There's a lot of general managers and presidents who get fired after 5-11 seasons. But he didn't, so he's got a second chance.
Well, yeah, and I'm hoping that's what it is. I'm hoping that he reevaluated and said, hey, what I'm doing up to this point has not worked. I've got to start taking a different type of player. A couple of players they took even this year, you look at them physically and you go, I don't know if they have the skills, but they've got instincts and they've got some things that we've been missing. We haven't been drafting those guys. It's kind of interesting to see that major drastic change in that.
Right. Yeah, totally agree with you. And we'll see if they're any good now, right? But it did another thing. And I was kind of curious when we were drafting, like we drafted wide receivers. We seemed to be set in that position.
Yeah.
We're drafting running backs. And not that we're set in that position, but we drafted a number of running backs. We drafted defense, where we seem to be set in that position too. We're drafting in these, I think it's a tone set or a message sent, to guys like Demaryius Thomas and Sanders. We're going to draft. You have to keep up. If you're good enough to stay ahead of these guys, then you're going to get playing time. But if
right.
you're not, then we're looking for guys who are going to, start climbing that ladder. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I was actually a little bit impressed by what they did. So it surprised me.
Yeah.
I won't lie, but
yeah.
I wasn't yeah. expecting that.
I was a little bit like you. I was not really sure really what to expect in the draft either, really, because I had no idea if we were going to be the one to draft, Baker Mayfield in the top five. I had no idea. I really didn't. So,
I learned, speaking of the Broncos, and I don't want to just dwell on the Broncos, but I learned that the AFC West, it looks like it might get tighter. And I don't know for sure if it's going to get better. It struggled last year, but it might get tighter because the bottom team in that AFC West was Denver. They go out, they have a very solid draft. They go get Bradley Chubb. They go get some players that we think can come in and maybe eventually be leaders, that kind of thing. The Los Angeles Chargers, they have a pretty solid draft. They get defensive back Derwin James. They get a couple more pieces for Phillip Rivers. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs didn't even have a first round pick. And the Oakland Raiders picks were a little bit confusing. This is going to be another tight division race, just looking at the draft alone.
Yeah, which makes, a smart, solid draft by Elway even that much more important.
Sure.
And I think that's okay too, because I think he would even, and has said, you know, we've read about it, that we plan, Broncos plan on competing for Super Bowls. So yeah, if that means our division is a little bit tighter, then that's okay. I mean, if the Chargers definitely got better, I think you're right about Kansas City. Well, they didn't have a first round pick, but it sounds like the Raiders wasn't necessarily spectacular. So, it'll be fun because I think everybody in this division has talent now. Well, I still think the Broncos are on the other side of it. I'm, you know, until these guys are proven, we're still the team looking up.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that there's, you know, enough there with the additions of maybe a couple guys from last year's draft to step up that, we could have, kind of changed things.
You know, you talked about Josh Rosen earlier. And one of the things that I learned this weekend that I don't know if I knew this, I learned that Josh Rosen is quite the threatener. I don't know if that's a word. But did you hear him drop that he's going to make all of the teams that bypassed him, like, bow down to his amazingness, and he's just going to make them all pay for it?
The chosen Rosen. Yeah, I did. It cracks me up, you know, when these guys, you know, decide to make, you know, the other however many teams pay for not drafting them.
Right.
You just hope those guys, you know, see the field. And granted, he will. Half the guys that are making those types of comments are, you know, going into training camp just, you know, hoping to make the special teams roster. Right.
Right. And I think he may be like a week one starter. Like, he's gonna be on the field.
Yeah. Well, Palmer retired, right? So there isn't anybody else.
Right. No, you've got Sam Bradford out there in like a bucket, and then you are going to have this guy. So yeah, right. He's going to be on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody's going to have, he's going to have his chance, I guess.
Yes, he is.
We'll see. Yeah.
Be interesting. What do you have that you learned this weekend? Because I know I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, no, I learned this weekend that you can be the most bitter rivals, but when you are retiring, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, Arsene Wenger of Arsenal.
Of course.
Retiring at the end of the year. He played Man U today. You know, a 22-year rivalry. I think he's won once in that stadium, maybe not even once in that stadium. But they, you know, they were giving him his farewell tour. It was a pretty cool thing, you know, these guys shaking hands and hugging each other after. Can you imagine 22 years of going up against a bitter rival as a coach?
No, I mean that's forever. But I mean,
it's a lifetime.
It is, but at the end of the day, you do have to sit there and say, "Hey, we both gave it everything we had. I know we hated each other during the time, but at the end, there has to be that mutual respect there, doesn't there?"
Yeah, I would think so. I watch some Premier League,
right?
More than I ever have, and I'm pretty impressed with you know, the way everybody kind of puts it out all on the field, but really shows, you know, respect. It seems like a really long tradition, and I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I learned this weekend that next weekend is the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, it is.
That always seems. Sneak up on me, right? So I did learn that.
Yeah, the Kentucky Derby is coming. I have no idea. I'll be very honest. I haven't looked into it enough. I'll have to check. And I don't think there's a big favorite coming out this year, but I guess we'll see if that ends up happening. And it always seems like once the Derby is run, then everyone starts going, oh, you know, the winner. Yeah, he's going to go, you know, win the Triple Crown or whatever. It seems like that's kind of a after the fact.
Yeah, I have no intention of knowing about horse racing, I think, is a lot like knowing how to select a fine wine. Like, I'm not going to spend that much time trying to figure out what's going on and the lineages and all that type of stuff.
No,
so I usually look at, you know, I will tune in for the pre-race pageantry.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a couple of the races that they have before, and you know that, but that's where I'm going. I don't know how many horses are even in the field. And so that'll all happen at 2 p.m. Mountain Time next weekend.
You know, I will tune in for the pageantry as well. And by the pageantry, I mean the mint juleps that will be served prior to the start of the race. I'll have a lot of pageantry in me by the end of the day.
save one for me.
Okay, I definitely will do that. Coming back, we are going to continue recapping the weekend in sports by discussing what we've learned. We have a number of things to still get to, including the NBA playoffs, and I learned something very specific watching hockey this weekend too. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme, it's called Role Models, and it's a good name for it because it has items from Arrested Development, Archer, Deadpool, and The Punisher. Now, if those aren't role models, you know, who is? The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. It's always good to save just a little bit of money when you can. You know, I learned that while the Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't think they're a very good team in this NBA playoffs we're seeing, neither are the Indiana Pacers, who could not make enough plays to be a one-man team. Like, I think looking at these two teams, I think the Pacers are probably the better team. But in this series, how many games were there for the taking and they couldn't take any of them? Like, all seven of them. They could have won all seven games easily and they couldn't make the plays to win them. I know everyone's going to talk about, well, you know, the Pacers are actually better, but, you know, LeBron carried them. I don't think the Pacers are even that good. Yes, they probably are better. They're not any good either. They couldn't make one single play when they really had to.
I learned that also, mostly because you just...
Because I just told you?
But, yes. But I think the thing I learned also, LeBron, if he's still the best player in the NBA...
Yeah.
If he can do what he did... And this is a five-guy sport on the court at any given time.
Right.
So if you've got the best player and he can kind of take over a game, yeah, I can see how that happens. But yeah, I'm with you. I generally would say that the Pacers probably aren't very good.
No. Yeah. It was frustrating to watch because you're sitting there going, every single game is right there for the taking, and they couldn't take them. You know, I learned that Carmelo Anthony and Paul George down in Oklahoma City, they might be the most overrated acquisitions in NBA history. In that deciding game six on Friday night, those two combined for a whopping 12 points with the season on the line, and the Jazz end their season for them in the first round of the playoffs. This was a team people were looking at. When they got Anthony and Paul George, you're like, hey, maybe they can push the Warriors. Maybe they can be that team right there with Houston or something like that. They couldn't even get by the Jazz in the first round.
Well, am I wrong in that Carmelo Anthony spent a large portion of that game on the bench?
Yes, he did, and he should.
Yeah, I read about that. And oh, by the way, I also read that, you know, he's kind of wondering what the strategy was for you know, Oklahoma City even adding him to the roster in the first place.
Right.
Well, I have the strategy. It was for him to score more.
Yes.
And contribute more.
Yeah.
I think this is now the third time I've heard Carmelo Anthony be unhappy in the situation he's in. He's more than happy to take the money and go to, you know, New York.
Right.
Now Oklahoma City. But there's more excuses coming out of his mouth than anybody I've known for being the type of star that he's supposed to be. And it's funny, right, that the teams that he has been on haven't done squat
right
in the playoffs.
They never do.
Yeah.
Well, and it was interesting watching this because basically you have Russell Westbrook just driving, attacking, doing all these different things. Paul George is at least capable of getting his shot off on his own. So basically what they need from Carmelo is when we do kick it to you, you knock down that shot. He couldn't knock down the shot. So, like, okay, well, what else do you bring to the table? Like, I'm not bringing you in the game for your defense. You're not going to rebound or hustle. So if you can't knock down the shot, what can you do? Like, what can I get out of you?
Yeah, he's certainly not rallying the troops and motivating the rest of the team. Yeah, that was, you know, I can't say I'm surprised.
No, I'm not either.
But you certainly would think that, you know, you add a couple big pieces like that, you're trying to replicate, you know, the Miami Heat, you know, to some degree. But, yeah, sure didn't work out for them, did it?
No, it did not. I've got one more thing that I learned here.
Okay.
I learned that much like the, you know, the existing one until they, you know, fully change it, much like that NFL catch rule, I don't understand instant replay in the NHL. You know, on Saturday night, we're watching the Vegas Golden Knights. They score what looks like the winning overtime goal against San Jose. They review it, and apparently like a fiber of a thread of someone's jersey apparently touched the goalie, so the goal was disallowed. The San Jose Sharks go on to score and win. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand what I'm seeing. Maybe I'm just not enough of a hockey guy. That didn't look like goalie interference. It didn't look like anything. I saw a goal in that Nashville-Colorado series, clearly looked like a kick, and they reviewed it, and they allowed it when the ref right there on the ice said, no, that's a kick. Like, I don't profess to be a hockey guy, but I don't get what it is they're looking at when they look at the replays in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't understand it.
Well, I'm with you. I totally agree with you. Who was it? It was Washington and Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
It certainly looked like the Washington guy in the goal crease pulled the guy's leg, and it did jostle him a little bit, and then, you know, Washington went on to score. I would think that would be goalie interference, but they reviewed it and said it wasn't. So in the what is a catch, you know, type conversation now, because I don't know what you do. There have been a number of these things that certainly looked like they were one thing and ended up not being. I'm with you. I did learn that as well.
Well, and the hard part about those, and about the same thing with the NFL, when it gets to just your average fan that is watching it, and if they're watching it and they're going, I don't understand what it is that you're ruling, then you might need to rethink what it is that you're doing. And some of the calls that we see in hockey right now, I can't figure out what they're doing. And if you listen to hockey guys, a lot of them can't figure it out either. They're looking at it the same way and going, I don't know what they're seeing. If that is happening consistently, then there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot like quarterback treatment in the NFL. If your goalie is allowed to be touched, you know, and you're going to call goalie interference, then, you know, put that out there. But then stick to it, right?
Right.
Because we certainly saw enough of those just recently to make us all wonder what it is. And then you have to wait, right? Like the goal that won it for or didn't win it for the Golden Knights ended up, we thought it was a goal. Now they have to go to review and they sit
right
around and review it. And then it wasn't, so now on with the game. But it sure seems to take a long time too.
Well, it does take a long time and it breaks up that continuity. And it also breaks up that every single time there is what we think is a game-winning play. Game-winning play. He scores. Maybe let's wait around and watch a replay and let's see if he did. Oh no, he didn't. Never mind. Never mind. So never mind, guys. Like it's just idiotic.
Well, I even take it a step further. I like it when a team scores a goal and they go back. You know, potentially a minute and a half could be within the shift.
Yes.
To see if someone was offside.
Right.
And then if they were offside, they scrap the goal.
Yes.
But they could have been playing for like 5 minutes additional.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
right.
Very funny. I have one more.
Oh, I'm ready for
thing
it.
This, but yeah, it's just a small one. But it appears that Vegas is projecting the Broncos to win 7 games this season.
Wow!
So it looks like we're moving up.
We're heading right up the charts. Here's a question for you. I take you to Vegas right now. Are you betting the over or the under? And here's here's a small caveat. You're putting your house on it.
Put my house on it, and I have to bet the over or the under.
Yes, yes.
7 wins. I think with our schedule, I'd go ahead and put the over.
Okay. I mean, yeah, the schedule looks. I mean, it looks favorable right now, but I don't have any idea what it means.
And that doesn't mean anything because I wouldn't project them to win more. You know, much more than that. So
right,
this will be a season in which I, you know, definitely say we're either 7-9 or 8-8.
Hey, Larry, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by the Dose. You know, you're
my
always
pleasure.
Welcome. We enjoy your visits. And hey, summer's coming. And I'm promising you right now, I'm not talking baseball summer. So you're going to be coming back. And we'll come up with something, but we're going to be talking about something else other than just baseball all summer. Okay.
It'll be my pleasure. Can't wait for the next time, Clay.
Hey, we've got a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. We will, of course, be keeping you up on the latest and greatest sports news this week. The NBA and NHL playoffs are continuing to roll along, and tomorrow we will be discussing our way too early winners and losers from that NFL draft. Gonna be a little bit different of a list than maybe a lot of other sports sources are gonna have for you. Plus, we will have some Daily Dose power rankings this week. We will have some overreactions this week. And as we always do on Fridays, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you have to stop by and tune in for that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, it is very, very appreciated. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Daily Dose, wherever it is that you listen, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Just click that subscribe or follow button wherever it might be that you listen. Have to say thank you to Larry for stopping by. We always enjoy your visits. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.